Hello, hello, and thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being a spiritual person, wanting to get a message from God's Word, and the Lord will reward you for your interest in spiritual things. How do I know that? Because for those who believe and obey, God has prepared a place for us. God, in fact, is waiting on us to see what kind of reaction we will give, and then to receive us with open arms into that place which is called heaven. Let's think about heaven for a moment, shall we? Let's look into the scriptures, see if we can have some joy in what the Bible tells us about it. I've got just kind of what they might call a goodie for you today, a lesson that lets us all rejoice together in the wonderful blessing that God has prepared for those who love Him, those who will follow after His eternal word. As you think about the subject of heaven, I want you to consider Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 and 20. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Heaven is a fortress, if you will, in the sense that the devil cannot break through, the devil cannot destroy it. It is forever going to stand. And it will house just as many souls as is possibly needed. And we want to make sure that heaven is indeed very full. Full of souls like yours. So that you can look forward to the place and say, "I want to go there. I want to forever be with Jesus Christ." Do you realize that heaven itself is mentioned about 700 times? Over 100 times by Jesus. So why do we have more preaching then done on heaven? Well, sometimes that's because if they're unwilling to preach on hell, then a lot of preachers might feel that they're being inconsistent to preach on heaven. Well, that's true, but I don't, when I say I don't mind it, I preach the whole counsel of God, and I preach on the subject of hell, so I certainly don't mind preaching on the subject of heaven. It's much more enjoyable. Some don't really believe in or don't study enough to know what the Bible says about it. Some people look for all of their blessings here in this life, and they do not seem to understand that even for those who give their very physical lives, God has a place. And that place, the heavenly spiritual abode, is something that is going to give you hope. It's going to give you a better direction in life. It's going to let you go forward from this time in your life and just know that everything is the way it ought to be. So, I would like for us to look at heaven as a spiritual abode, because it is indeed a place. It's not outer space. When you say, "Well, heaven's up there," it's not like you're traveling over to Alpha Centauri somewhere and, "Oh, well, here's heaven." It's not in the sense of I'm going to go somewhere in the physical universe and find the planet of heaven. That's not the way it works. Heaven is not really the atmosphere, although you may speak of the heavens, and the scripture uses that kind of language as well. So heaven doesn't always refer to the spiritual abode. However, we don't really want to address that side of it in this lesson, do we? Because we're thinking of the spiritual abode itself. And I certainly don't know everything about it, but I don't have to. I want to give you some specific points about that place. Because heaven is a place, it's just that it's in a different realm, right? And even though we don't completely understand something, we can still talk about it. I don't completely understand even in the physical realm, say the sun. But I know that it's there. I know it provides light and heat and so forth. So we can know some things about it even though we don't know all about it. So what about, first of all, belief in heaven? How would you expect to go to somewhere if you don't even believe that it is? First of all, you must believe that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him, Hebrews chapter 11. So based upon the truth of the resurrection, Acts chapter 26 verse 8, we know that we expect to enter into the realization of the hope of the Christian and go into the place of heaven itself. Entrance into heaven is accomplished by the resurrection. And the nature of that resurrection is described to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So if you want to know, well, how do I transition into heaven, that's where you come into the concept of eternal life, the continuing existence of the soul, the embodiment of that soul according to the immortal body that God will prepare for it at the time of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And he goes into a big explanation there. I don't want you to be thinking that you're going to enter into heaven and you're going to literally walk with the same old creaking legs down the streets of gold and so forth. God's going to give you a body, my friends. He's going to prepare for you something that is according to righteousness, according to His way, fit for eternity, where we have access to the tree of life and everything is just going to keep going on that way. Heaven is eternal. So let's think about heaven as far as some pictures of it, things that will let us get a visualization in the eye of faith without ever having actually been there, okay? Heaven, what is it like? heaven is a big reunion. So you picture in your mind a bunch of souls all together with God. First of all, you're going to be in much closer union with the Father. Hebrews 9 and verse 24, Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That's Hebrews 9 verse 24. Entering into the heavenly place, we find there the very presence of God, something which would be difficult to handle here upon this earth, wouldn't it? But something which we will rejoice in, as we have in our immortal body a great rejoicing with all of the heavenly beings, the Father and his angels and so forth, up there. And then we have also the obedient that are going to be there in heaven, aren't they? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that's 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you." There's all kinds of illustrations we could use for this. How would you like a body that didn't run down? How would you like a vehicle that never needs maintenance? How would you like something that just keeps on going on and on? The inheritance that we have here with God is described in such glowing terms, incorruptible, undefiled. Oh, the purity of it, ladies and gentlemen. But you say, but I'm not a pure person. No, listen. God himself provides the purity. He gives unto us the white robes. He shows us that we are forgiven of all of our sins. It's not that you yourself have done something to say, oh, well, I really worked hard for this and I deserve heaven. Mm-mm. It is a reservation God makes for you. And that reservation God will fulfill. All you have to do is keep on believing. Keep on trusting in him. Keep on being an obedient servant of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you don't stumble along the way, but if you trust in him, he can keep you from sin. And if something were to happen, then that means you come back unto God and you serve him more faithfully than even you ever did in the past. Now, let's also think about this. Another picture of heaven, a way to think of it, it's a very beautiful thing, is that the faithful loved ones who have passed on are going to be there. You have those people that have served God as Christians. You read about some of them in the Bible. You may have known some in your own personal life. And as far as you know, now, we don't know about people. They can fool us, right? But if somebody has served God as a faithful Christian, they're going to be there. They're waiting on you. Isn't that something? It's an amazing thought, isn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4. "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." That's a Bible word for those who have died. "That you do not sorrow, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him." God hasn't forgotten those who have already died. Everybody from old people like Noah, Abraham, all the way down. Those who trusted in the Lord remembers his people, and they do not just wink out of existence. "This we say unto you by the word of the Lord," he says in verse 15 of 1 Thessalonians 4. "By the word of the Lord, they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," or that is, precede, "them that are asleep. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." And my friend, I do hope you take comfort in that. How many times do we think of this life as being one where you go from one challenge to the next, and it seems like no sooner does your mind get at ease with respect to one problem than here another one crops up? My friend, that's the nature of this life. But there is a life to come, a life which is lived not just in prospect, not just in hope, but in realization. Realization of the comfort, the rest that God provides. And heaven will be such a place. Furthermore, heaven is a place where you realize, hey, I had it right. Christians had it right the whole time. Heaven is a great vindication for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Thus the place of heaven is a great vindication. It's where God says, you were right to stick it out. You were right. That's going to feel great, isn't it, to hear those words from the Father? It's going to be great to be there. My friend, I want you to be there with me. I want to make it. Won't you come by and see us at Mount Gilead? Let's help each other go to heaven. How about it? You have an open invitation. Come by and see us whenever you'd like. And we'd love to have you come by next opportunity that you have for one of our Sunday schools, Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday morning worship, Sunday evening worship. Whenever you can come see us, you always receive a warm welcome at the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. Thank you for listening.